The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Stepping Stones to Everyday Success with Kimberly Stewart. If you are looking to make a difference to your work life as well as your personal life, this program is for you. We'll have stories, identify tools and techniques to help you in your everyday success, and answer your questions and hear your ideas. Now, here is your host, Kimberly Stewart.
Hi, Voice America listeners. This is Kimberly Stewart, and I am your host for Stepping Stones to Everyday Success. I am so excited about today's show. We are talking about performance evaluations. Yes, I am excited. You did hear me correctly. Performance evaluations are such an important part in our success, in our careers, in our professional lives. So I decided to dedicate a show talking specifically about the performance evaluation process from an employee standpoint as well as a manager standpoint. And hopefully I'll get some HR resources who will comment and provide their points of views during the show. As you know, this is Stepping Stones to Everyday Success. And one of my goals for today's show, as with every show, is for you to come away with at least one tip that you can apply to your daily life and make your day a little bit more successful. I'm hoping that after today's show, you actually have several tips on how to improve the performance evaluation process and maybe even see the benefits of it. So in today's show, I want to have two discussions. The first discussion is going to be after the first commercial break, and that's going to be talking about employees, managers, and hopefully an HR resource will email me or call me about the benefits or I'm saying drawbacks and frustrations. I'm not sure if that's the right words, but definitely, you know, get the perspective of performance evaluations from the employee manager and hopefully in HR and also leaders. Leaders actually have another perspective. Then I also want to talk about my second discussion, which will be after the second commercial break, are the types of performance evaluations. And in there, we'll get some more tips. Hopefully throughout, we'll be getting some tips woven in. But during that discussion, have some tips, and I'll talk a little bit about my guiding principles when I look at performance evaluations. And then we'll wrap up the show with an open mic. If there's additional emails or calls that I didn't get to, or general questions and comments, hopefully we'll have a little bit of time to go over that, and then wrap up and have a sneak peek. Preview for next week's show, which I'm also excited about. Before I talk about the performance evaluations, there's two things I want to do. First, I want to thank everyone for your emails of support on my first show, Creating and Fostering a Positive Work Environment. If you did miss the show, you can always go to my host page and listen to it. You'll see it listed right there. Had some great feedback. And also heard from some of you guys, which was wonderful, about how the tips that you took away and how you've applied them. So I'm happy that people did hear and use some of these tips, and they were very useful. So thank you for the feedback. Hope you'll share your feedback again this week. And hopefully I'll hear from some new listeners. So since I was so excited about the performance evaluation process, I figured I needed to tell you why. I haven't always been excited about the performance evaluation process, and actually, I still have that, it's that time of year, isn't it? But I know that it's a good thing. And I know it's a good thing for my employees. It's a good thing as a manager and as a leader to have these performance evaluations done. And I believe there's some people that are probably in the midst of it now, why this may be a very timely show. So I have to tell you that I went to a company several years ago, and I saw when I got hired on that they had performance evaluations. It was clearly in their employee handbook. And I was going along and conducting, you know, my work and managing my team, and time was passing by. And as time passed by, people on my team's anniversary passed by. No big deal. It's probably that, you know, 1 month, December is your annual performance evaluation time. December passes by. There's no mention of performance evaluations. And I was okay with it in some ways because it means I didn't have to do it as a manager. But then my anniversary passed by. And I'm like, oh, I'm sure it's coming around at some point, I'm sure. And then after a period of time, I was thinking, no, I've had a full year. There has been at no point mention of a performance evaluation. So I went into my employee handbook, saw that they do annual performance evaluations. It was kind of vague on exactly when you did the performance evaluations. I looked around to find a performance evaluation template, couldn't find a template. Started asking around, yes, we do it, but there was no real answer about it. And then I started going, you know what? I'm upset about this. I want a performance evaluation. I want to document all the good stuff I've accomplished. There's also areas that I needed to work on and wanted to improve in my career, and I wanted to take some professional development classes, and I actually wanted the company to support me on that. And I did talk to my managers about those things, so I was trying to have conversations, but I was realizing there was nothing behind that. The manager would say, yes, you can have these, and yes, this is good for the company. But they would never, when it came time to take the lessons or the classes, is one reason or another that I couldn't. And I realized the performance evaluation, if it has the professional development plan, which I hope they do, was a commitment that not only was my manager making to me, I was making to my manager I would take, and the organization was making a commitment that they supported this plan. It also provided me valuable feedback on where my manager saw that I needed to improve. I had my own thoughts on that. I've always been one looking at how I can improve, so I knew I had a pretty good handle on that, but I've also realized that other people have other perspectives. And to make sure that I'm aligning with the company and their goals for me and how I can add value, I wanted to hear from the manager. And I wasn't getting that feedback either. He didn't want to talk to me about that. I was always doing fine. Luckily, as a manager myself and as the way I typically work with people, I'm hoping that my employees did not feel the way that I was feeling, where I wasn't getting feedback, I wasn't getting credit for the accomplishments, and I wasn't getting the career development I needed and wanted. I, as a manager, had always been doing the more informal feedback. When people accomplished stuff, I was giving them credit and providing that feedback. When I needed to improve, I was giving them constructive feedback and giving them a plan of how we can improve. If people wanted to take classes, we were looking at that. And luckily, I never had to say, no, you couldn't. I always got it approved up the chain. So hopefully the employees did not feel that pain that I felt. And quite frankly, eventually the people changed, managers changed, and performance evaluations were implemented in the company, which was good. And I was actually in a position where I could help in that implementation. They asked me for my input. They asked me for my feedback. So it turned out very well, but it did make me realize no matter how much we dread a performance evaluation, it truly is a good thing to have. And if you're in the, I don't want to do it, think about it from an employee perspective. If you're not getting that feedback, think about it from a manager's perspective about, you know, you want your employees to improve. You want them to grow. You want them to grow in the way that is most beneficial to you and your team. So this is one way to document that. As a leader wants to have, has made an investment into their employees. They want to make sure that everyone is working to maximize that investment. Performance evaluation is a formal way to provide that and document it. As people may change over the, you know, years and months, you know, they, you want to have a written document of how people did, how people performed, what they've done that has been so valuable. You know, one of the things that I saw from a performance evaluation standpoint too is that everyone is thinking that a performance evaluation and your salary are absolutely 100% connected. My views are your performance evaluation is an input to your salary review. It's a little bit different thought. And I think that from my perspective, I do not like having a performance evaluation and a salary review at the exact same time. I think that that has connected the two. And you think that if I've got a great performance evaluation, I need a fantastic salary raise. And that you also think my manager has complete input into that. Or you realize, you know, my manager is doing a performance review, but they have no input into the salary review. And I think that that is not completely true, that the manager has input through the performance review, but really the leaders of the organization who know the strategic direction that they will be taking in the organization, they know their financial picture, they know and hopefully are working with the HR in terms of what are competitive salaries and rates. They need to have performance evaluation inputted into their decisions on salary. But it's not great salary, great performance review, great salary. I do not believe they should be connected like that. I believe that they need to be separated. And I am actually a big supporter of not doing them at the exact same time. I think also that performance evaluations are inputs into promotion. When people are looking to promote someone, they are looking at the accomplishments that they've made, at their ability to improve and grow, at their vision to where they want to go in the future, and as you know, and how they are tied to this company and how they support the work that they're doing in the company and making sure that this is a good match and that they can excel and be a great force as they grow and get promoted up through the company. So this all brings around, okay, we have these performance evaluations, and they're providing positive input. They're providing our accomplishments. They're providing ways to improve. They're providing professional development plans. But is it something that you just do and you do once a year because that's all the process says to do? No. I do not believe you need that is the case. You need to have continual process or continual feedback. You need to constantly be looking to provide feedback real time, and whether it's constructive or whether it is positive. So an annual performance evaluation never makes you have to have only a conversation formally once. It's constant feedback. So it's time to break. Discussion topic number one is hearing from you, the employee, manager, HR, or leader, what you see are the benefits and the drawbacks. So hopefully you will email me. You can email the host, call me, and hopefully we will hear some feedback from you after the break. Thank you very much.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
What does a visual workplace mean to you? How does it contribute to operational excellence? And what steps do you take to put it powerfully in place? Listen to The Visual Workplace, Work That Makes Sense, to find out. Each week, Dr. Gwendolyn Galsworth, visual workplace expert and award-winning author, shares tools and strategies to help you make the workplace speak at a glance without saying a word. Learn to work safer, faster, better, and at far less cost, no matter what business you're in. Tune in to The Visual Workplace every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Business. Are you and your business well prepared? For what, you may ask? Well, what about workplace violence, cyber attacks, or general business disasters? Listen for Fear is Negotiable, Business Survival Skills 101 with your host, Pamela Hill. We'll bring you case studies of the businesses that don't prepare and the consequences that can happen. We'll also bring you best practice strategies that can help you keep your business running smoothly. Tune in to Fear is Negotiable, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel. Did you know that at the root of every business problem lies a communication issue? Communication Nation, a show that brings effective business communication practices to the masses, addresses a number of topics and talking points that impact your professional development, as well as business productivity and profitability. Host Jill Schiffelbein makes the theoretical tangible. Tune in each Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Be ready to become a better communicator with Communication Nation. When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are tuned in to Stepping Stones to Everyday Success with Kimberly Stewart. We want to hear from you today with your questions and comments. Please call into the program today at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to kstewart@steppingstone-llc.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back. And thank you for coming back. And thank you for the emails that you guys have sent. I greatly appreciate them. And we've got some good ones and exciting ones from the ones I've read so far. So I'm looking forward to sharing them with you and providing my input comments on some of these emails. So the first email that I see is, you know, as an employee, I hate the performance evaluation. It has nothing to do with my performance and is just a paper drill. Well, you know, I can't speak specifically to how your performance evaluations are being implemented and how the managers and your leadership are implementing it and the value that it is providing. I hope that after this show, you at least have a little more hope in that performance evaluations can be a good tool. One of the things I would encourage is if you have the opportunity to write your performance evaluation, that you write it with all the things that you're thinking of and that you've accomplished and that you want to improve on and the classes you want to do, and use the form that they have, but really take some time and focus on that. And then give that to your manager. And I would send one over to HR, too. So it's at least in your file documented, whether or not you sit down with the manager. Hopefully you do sit down with the manager and talk. But not knowing the specifics of how it's implemented, obviously I can't comment on that. So hopefully you'll at least have a better appreciation after the show. Okay. Here's another one from an employee perspective. As an employee, my experience is that managers come up with a bottom-line numerical score that equates to compensation increases and then go back and artificially backfill the various evaluation criteria to support that score. Moreover, the annual evaluation is based on job performance that occurred in the 2 weeks prior to the evaluation date. So on this, I have seen, and unfortunately, I know that it happens where all of a sudden a manager goes, oh no, I have to do these performance evaluations. I've got 2 weeks to do them, and I've got 20 performance evaluations to do, and I may be low or high on that number. So, of course, if the manager hasn't done anything to prepare for them and throughout the year, yeah, it's going to be, okay, what did Susie do for the last 2 weeks? What are the things that I remember? And it usually comes up with the last 2 weeks. That is no way to have an effective performance evaluation. I wish I could say it doesn't happen, but unfortunately, I know it does. One of the things that I have done, and I am jumping a little bit ahead to my tips, so I can cover it again at tips, is I keep a file, not from me as an employee. When I get accolades, I write it down or I print out the email. When I have employees who have accolades, I do that. When I have discussions with employees about ways to improve, I document it. So I keep a file and of myself as well as all my employees that I am managing. And I make sure that every time something comes across or I have a conversation, I document, explain further if I need to, if it's an email, it's not really clear, so that when it does come time to performance evaluation, I pull out that folder on that employee or on myself, and it's a lot easier to recollect stuff that happened a year ago, as well as 6 months ago, as well as 2 weeks ago. So keep that in mind, and hopefully, if you are writing your own performance evaluations, that you can keep that in mind and help yourself, because I have just as much problem remembering what I did a year ago as I do remembering what Susie did a year ago. So here I have, actually this is interesting, this is good. I have a couple of comments from the HR resource side, and actually this is from the management side, employment and labor lawyer. So let's hear what they have to say. Performance appraisals are essential for all employees. I can't tell you how many times a client calls and says they want to fire a particular employee but don't have anything in writing to back up their claims that the employee is a bad performer. Performance appraisals address that deficiency. So yes, I've been talking a lot about the positive, the accomplishments, the improvements, and I haven't talked about an extreme of you need to fire someone. You just have someone who is not performing. You know, they are absolutely right, and unfortunately, I have been in the situation where we needed to fire someone, and the HR person immediately said, okay, let's see the documentation, and we go through it, and they would see whether it was enough, or if there was more things that we needed and what those were. And it took a lot longer time of keeping this underperformer who needed to go to leave because we had to provide that documentation. So that is a very good point. Another one from this email, another point is managers must be trained, taught how to conduct an accurate appraisal. In that regards, managers often are not honest during appraisals or are afraid to explain deficiencies to an employee and generally shy away from any kind of confrontation. If they act in that manner, the appraisals are almost useless. And again, I agree, people do not like confrontation. They do not like to give bad news. But it is so important. It is so important for people's growth and for people to improve and correct. And, you know, even with, you know, trying to just, you know, make everything look rosy or if not rosy, neutral, that doesn't help people learning. And what we should be wanting from our employees are always is time to have them improve and learn. So training is one way to make sure that managers know how to give an appraisal. And I would add that employees also should be trained on the performance evaluation process and their role and their benefits. I think that training and education needs to go both ways, and they're two different training programs. The manager training is not the same as the employee. So if you're a manager, you might need to go to both. So let's see if I have another one here. I've got a lot of feedback, so that's why I'm trying to pick out some of it. Let's see if I've got a manager. Okay, here's a manager. After 42 years of performance evaluations, I have given hundreds and received many. I find them a stupid way to discuss performance, basically an HR invention, justification for bloated HR departments with limited real value. My best ones, both given and received, were over a beer discussing everything, including the employee's views, roles, objectives, goals, meshed with the organization's need. Most of the time, an employee wants to know what this means in terms of a raise. So as we talked about earlier, you know, from my perspective, the two should be separated, the performance evaluation and the salary review. They're connected, input into the salary. The performance evaluation is input into the salary review, but they are not one and the same and shouldn't be treated that way. And part of the training and education process is, you know, how salary is looked at and how performance evaluations are looked at. So I am sorry that the performance evaluations have not been a positive for this manager. I think that it all depends on how an organization's implementing it and the value that that organization has for the performance evaluations. I will have to admit that I have seen very few organizations, if any, that have truly implemented it. Obviously, I've only got a very small number of organizations I've been involved with relative to all the organizations that are out there. So, but I think it's important that we as leaders, and if you are a leader of an organization that can impact how things are implemented, that we try to do that because it is such a critical tool for us as managers, as employees, and leaders to use in order to make sure we are protecting our investment that we've made in the employees. Employees are growing in their career. They're interested in staying with the company, you know, through, and that just helps us in regaining our investment, and that we help them grow in the way that will maximize their value to our organization. So it is actually time for another break. I have several more emails that I might you know, do some more emails. I want to talk about the types of performance evaluations on the other side of this break, so please provide me some feedback on that. And then also get into some more tips and some of my guiding principles. I've put through some of them, but I want to, you know, just touch upon some additional ones. So let's come back after the break. I'll see you in about 2 minutes. Thank you.
Business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
We hear it and read about it every day in the news.
America is heading over a fiscal cliff. Home prices are still receding and unemployment growing.
How can you preserve and increase your wealth in this kind of economy? Tune in to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with host Jay Taylor. Jay will explain the decline of our monetary system and the economy and will give you winning investment ideas and the tools to protect and increase your wealth. Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor can be heard Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Bob Pritchard has over 30 years of experience as a straight-talking business consultant and author working with some of the top Fortune 500 companies. Now he's come to the Voice America Business Channel to help you and your business. Tune in to the Bob Pritchard Radio Show for information about starting and successfully running a profitable business. From the movers and shakers to great marketing screw-ups, you can't afford to miss a single edition of the Bob Pritchard Radio Show. Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Business.
We spend 70% of our week in the office. What is the difference between enjoying your job and enduring it? The number one motivator is a positive work environment. And that's where Real Recognition Radio comes in. Join your hosts, Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown, as they take a look at the positive factors of the workplace, such as employee rewards, recognition, incentives, and much more. Tune in to Real Recognition Radio. Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
You are tuned in to Stepping Stones to Everyday Success with Kimberly Stewart. We want to hear from you today with your questions and comments. Please call into the program today at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to kstewart@steppingstone-llc.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Stepping Stones to Everyday Success, where we are talking about performance evaluations and getting through the performance evaluation. We had some great energy and feedback around the benefits and the frustrations and feelings around doing performance evaluations. We heard from employees and managers and some HR resources. So I was really excited about that. I still have more comments and feedback that came in. I think I'm going to revisit that during and pick out some of those additional comments during what I'm calling the open mic session, because I really want to get into types of performance evaluations. And there are lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of different types of performance evaluations. Two of the ones that I have done and participated in is the 360, which, you know, in some of the emails that I have gotten, you know, people reference the 360 and really liking that. The 360 provides an employee a perspective from all sorts of stakeholders and people that they connect with. I've had it done once, and it was extremely eye-opening. You know, as I said, I'm pretty cognizant of myself. I believe I am very aware of, you know, what I need to work on, what are my strengths, where I want to go, my improvements. And I thought I was pretty aware of how I came across to all the spectrum of people. The 360 really gave me insight on some of the perspectives. And it allowed me to go, oh, let me focus that a little bit more. I was completely unaware of it. So I was very pleased when my employer said that they wanted to do a 360 with me. It's one of the things, and I don't know recently, I'm assuming that it hasn't changed because this was several years ago. It can be very expensive too to do this. So that's why I know my employer did not do it with everyone. They selected people to do it with, usually as part of the growth. So 360s can be expensive, but it gives a fantastic perspective on how you come across to other people, your strengths, areas of improvement, and really helped me in focusing some of my professional development that I don't think I would have focused otherwise. There's also the SMART, specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and timely. And there might be some slight variations on that. I've seen the words slightly change, but that's the one that I'm familiar with. And this is where you develop the goals for the year using this criteria, a very specific, something that is measurable, and how are you measuring it? It's achievable. If it's a goal that you cannot reach, you don't want it. It can be a stretch. It should be a stretch, but it is an achievable goal. It is relevant. It has something to do with what you are doing and the organization is doing. And it's timely. There is a time limit. There's a schedule in it that you need to be cognizant of and aware of. So those are two of the performance evaluations that I have experience in. There's also, companies have their own templates that they will do, and talking about strengths, talking about areas of improvement, professional development goals, expectations, upcoming year goals, a five-year plan, general comments. And in the company that truly instituted performance evaluations, I had input into their form. They didn't go for a 360. We kind of meshed in a little bit of the SMART, but they had their own company form that they developed and used. So looking at some of the feedback that I see, I wanted to hear some of that. Coming from an HR person, I am a fan of 360 tools such as Acumen. Oh, there's a tool, which is great. Thank you. Especially for team leaders, managers, and executives. Many are effective in identifying management skills, strengths, and weaknesses, and can be shockingly eye-opening in ways that traditional management down feedback can. Which that's what I found when I had my 360. I also support the emotional IQ 360 feedback tool, which identifies personal areas of strength and improvement, such as empathy, self-regard, and approach to problem solving. The 360 tool goes beyond skills and provides employees and managers with feedback on how their emotional confidence and perspectives affect their ability to manage people, projects, and problems, no matter how smart, high IQ a person is. So that's great. There are some tools in there and some, additional details and feedback in there that, mine was done several years, as I mentioned, so this gave a little more detail. Another comment was, while annual performance appraisals are the traditional way employees receive feedback, I see a trend in the importance of constant feedback. This is important to the Generation Y employees, as I meant, I'm picking out some stuff. So this person had another comment earlier on. But it's also important for retention of company knowledge and information. This is a critical issue for many companies because of the future change in the working population. Baby boomers are going to retire. With their exodus, they take with them wealth of company knowledge. Therefore, constant feedback and the need for regular interaction between management and younger employees is essential to the business success and future. The transfer of company knowledge and performance can come in the way of weekly, monthly, and yearly goal setting meetings, mentoring programs, and succession planning. So yes, I was talking to someone the other night, and they were mentioning that especially they said the Silicon Valley, the tech firms, they're doing like these quarterly reviews because they couldn't wait for a year for an annual review. And it was more of this constant feedback, constant evaluation, and that they only wanted a quarter to pass before they tried to start exiting people out and getting them back or getting them back on track, hopefully. So I wanted to quickly go on, and if we have time to get some more feedback and input from emails, I will do that during my open mic session. Some tools and tips. And hopefully I've woven some of these in throughout the show. Keep a record, accomplishments, accolades, concerns, comments, and discussions. We talked about that. File name on everything, including yourself. Actively ask feedback from managers, peers, colleagues, and clients. I do this all the time. It is so important to me to get feedback on how did I do? How did I do on this radio show? That's why I probably was very excited to hear from people. How did I do on the meeting? How did I do on achieving that goal? I always want feedback because that's the only way I can learn. That is the only way that I can improve. I don't need it to always be positive. I like getting constructive feedback. Sometimes, depending on what it is, it may hurt a little, but it is so important for me to understand and grow and improve. Promote yourself. As an employee, you have to promote yourself. No one else will. That is several times I've come across people who I haven't directly managed, and they have achieved something or are taking additional classes that are free to them, but they are relevant to their job. And I tell them, tell your manager. Tell them what you've achieved. Especially, there's a lot of times where managers are not on the client side. They are not working with the people they're evaluating day to day. It is so important that you always keep your manager informed. I also tend to try to, especially on very important stuff, keep an HR person informed in the hopes that that will go into my employee file. I, as a manager, if there is important accomplishments that come through emails that I am made aware of, I promote up. I make sure that my higher-ups know, and I make sure there's always an HR person on there. And, of course, it goes into my employee file. Ask from others input on employees. You know, their peers, their daily, day-to-day managers on site if they are not on site being at a client site. I do a lot of consulting work, so I am often on a client site or I have employees on a client site. So ask for input. Sometimes a client cannot give officially input, so beware of that, especially in the government realm, which I do a lot of work in. But I do ask for just feedback, general feedback. They usually don't write it down. They will have a conversation with me. Ask for input into it. So it is actually time for another break. I still have more tools and tips and guiding principles that I want to get into, and I will get into after this break. And if we have time, I'll do some more feedback from the emails that I have received, and I will give you a sneak peek to next week. So I will see you back in about 2 minutes. Thank you.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network. Calling all CFOs, finance and risk professionals. Your call to action is to help your company achieve financial excellence. How? Master risk management, cost control, and strategic decision-making by implementing game-changing technology advances like mobile, in-memory, and cloud computing, and more. Where? Learn from top thought leaders each week on Financial Excellence with Game Changers, presented by SAP. Join us for Financial Excellence with Game Changers, presented by SAP, Tuesday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time on the Business Channel.
Social media is growing at an astounding rate. In just virtually 5 short years, we have seen YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter take the world by storm. How do you effectively make social media work for you? Tune in to The Social Universe with host Kurt Wilhelm. We'll show you how to market your business or yourself to get ahead, especially in unstable economic times. We'll also discuss practices that you can apply to increase visibility and revenue as you unlock the mysteries of the social universe. The Social Universe is broadcast live every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
We're always talking business. Talk to an expert. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You are tuned in to Stepping Stones to Everyday Success with Kimberly Stewart. We want to hear from you today with your questions and comments. Please call into the program today at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to kstewart@steppingstone-llc.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back. Thank you for coming back. I have some more tools and tips that I didn't get to before the break, so I want to get to now. And then I'll get into some guiding principles, and hopefully we have some time for a couple of my open mic. Then I'll wrap up and give you a sneak peek. So a couple more tips, and this I find is very important, especially in the consulting world where I am, where people change managers can be quite frequently. So if you're doing an annual review in that traditional style, you may have changed a manager during that time. What I always ask if I am getting an employee from another manager is I always ask them, can you write up your feedback? And I would ideally love to have them do a performance evaluation form, but I just want the feedback so that they do not have a hole in their performance evaluation where I was not there. And they usually write up a few paragraphs on the employee, and I try to read it quickly to make sure it has accomplishments, improvements, suggestions on professional development and hits those. Oftentimes it does. I, as a manager, will always do that for my employee. And actually, I will use, if there's a standard form, I will use it. It's not going to be as lengthy as my annual reviews, but I will do it in that form. And then I actually have a conversation with that employee. I'd much rather have the employee hear all my feedback from me. So if they have questions about it, they can ask me. And it's timely and it's fresh. And then I give that to the manager they're rolling on to. Oftentimes that manager will just staple it to their performance evaluation that they do on an annual basis, because I tell them, I've already had the conversation. So, and that's great. That eases that manager's but that employee does not lose a segment of time where the manager that they have doesn't know what happened. If I leave the company, they still have it. And actually, I've done that too when I've left a company. I've done performance reviews for all my employees. So again, they don't miss out because of choices that they're not involved in or that they have no control over. I will also amend expectations as appropriate. As the year goes by, things may change and goals may become OBE. So I will go back and amend it. As part of my continual feedback with employees and reevaluations, as there's significant changes, I will have us pull out that performance evaluation and change it. I won't delete anything. I will just make a comment of going, this goal is OBE, and I'll try to put why so that there's some context there. Bottom line, as an employee or as a manager, continually provide yourself input. Continually think about the performance evaluation, not where you're stressing overwriting it, but where you are putting a file away. Make it so it's not as painstaking those times of years or the time of year when you need to write it. But continually, massage it. It's a little bit every day, and it will have a big impact when you need to do it. So I want to move quickly into some of the principles to live by in doing the performance evaluations. Actually, this has not come up at all, but there should be never, ever, ever should there be a surprise in an annual review. There should be constant feedback, constant conversations, and they should be at a timely basis. And those conversations documented. So if you do have constructive feedback, you need to do it in a timely basis and document it. If there's great accomplishments, you shouldn't wait for the annual evaluation to recognize those accomplishments. They need to be done ahead of time. If you have a performance evaluation meeting where there is a surprise, then you haven't done your job as a manager. If you, as an employee, added something to the performance evaluation, if you wrote up some stuff and there's a surprise to your manager, then you have not promoted yourself. We need to build the performance evaluation throughout the year. That's the constant feedback. File it. No one is expected to remember the details of each team member over a course of the year. So that goes into putting your notes into a file that has your team member's name on it. Secure it. Lock it. It shouldn't be out in the open for anyone to see. And then, as we said before, promote yourself. No one else will promote you. You have to look out for yourself. Promote yourself. And promote yourself, not meaning give yourself increased position, but making sure people know what you're doing and accomplishing. So quickly, I do want to give you, because we are running out of time, believe it or not, I can't believe it. I do want to give you a quick sneak peek of next week so you can be thinking about it and hopefully providing me with some input. Next week, we are talking about how to realize project success. My background is a project manager, so this is an area that I have a great passion for. And I want to talk about what I feel are the top three causes of project failure, or not realizing the full potential of your project. I would love to hear from you. What do you feel are the top three, or top one, top two, causes of project failure? And then if you have ways to mitigate that or to watch it or to help prevent it, let's hear that too. So that is it, how to realize project success. I hope you tune into that. Before we leave, and I might be able to squeeze in one more comment from my emails, and thank you again for everything. I'm not sure I will. I do want to do a call out to the Chantilly Nationals. They are Virginia state champions. They went to regionals in North Carolina. They did not make it to the championship, but they did place fifth, which has not been done for this Chantilly, Virginia. So congratulations to my son, Patrick Stewart, and all of the Chantilly Nationals. We're very proud of you. And on to next year when maybe we can do a march to Williamsport. So with that, we are running out of time, and I do want to thank everyone who has sent me emails. Thank you for your comments. If I haven't been able to share them with you on the air, I am going to try to provide some feedback to you. I think that that's important. I've asked you, you've been kind enough to give it to me, and I do want to provide you some feedback. So I will share with you some of my comments and thoughts upon your email. Please think about my questions of, you know, top three causes of project failure. I hope you have a very good week. I hope you picked a tip that you can use every day this week. Give me feedback if you care to. And until next week, thank you and have a great week, and hope that you have some great stepping stones to everyday success. Thank you. Until next week.
Thanks again for joining us this week for Stepping Stones to Everyday Success. Please join your host, Kimberly Stewart, again next Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. This week, take one more step to find your success.